What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game.
Because you know, like at camps and stuff like this, you take the ball out, you ain't getting the ball back. Like, you the last one up the court, they already did their thing. So I stopped there, and I just got into a rhythm and started hooping.
The Lakers should sign Trae Young this summer.
They got to kind of start preparing for, like, if LeBron's last year is this year or next year, whenever it is. And I feel like a pick and roll with AD and a guy like Trae Young would be deadly.
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
AT&T connects and ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Kendrick Lamar's new video, The Heart Part 5, dropped last night, where he turned into several different people in the face.
Amazing, bro. I'm
that
still
was
in
dope,
awe.
Right? Right. I thought I was just super high looking. I was like, yo, because I only saw the end, the part where they did Nip, and I was watching that shit. And I was just like, damn, why is that motherfucker looking like Nip? But I thought, I was just like, man, maybe I'm too blowed. I put my phone down, went pee, and looked at that motherfucker again. And sure enough, he turned into Nip's face again. I'm like, what is this? Welcome back to What's Burning. We're about, man, halfway through the second round right now. Jack, let's get right into it. Warriors versus Grizzlies. Warriors are up 2-1 after they blew Memphis out on Saturday night, 142. So I think 111. There was an incident. I want to talk about the game, but first, Jack, I want to talk about an incident where Jordan Poole and I think Wiggins were trapping Morant, and Jordan Poole was reaching for the ball, grabbed Morant's knee, tweaked the knee a little bit, and then Morant said broke code, same thing that Steve Kerr said when Dylan Brooks clotheslined GP2. Thoughts on that play and I guess the world we're in now where obviously – you know, players can say what they want.
Two different plays. Not even one is a dirty play to me in my mind, Dylan Brooks. When you hustle back and cock your arm back when you know that you have no effect on the actual shot, when you just swinging wild, that's a dirty play. Poole was just playing good D. They trapped him. I looked at the video a million times, Matt, and I didn't even see one time where he actually grabbed his knee like that. Like, I didn't see it, but it's they competing right now, so things gonna be said. But Poole was not a dirty player, and what Brooks did was a whole different animal. But I like the fact that players get to say what they want. You know what I mean? I don't think none of it is crossing the line of being disrespectful. They ain't talking about nobody's families and nothing like that, so it's cool. You know, we all know the people that's being disrespectful right now, and that's the fans.
Yeah, no, there was an angle where you could see him grab Morant's knee. I don't think it was intentional or in a way of trying to hurt him. You know, when you're reaching for that ball, sometimes, you know, you grab other shit. I think J.J. Redick made a good point. I saw him on ESPN earlier today, and there was a play. I mean, Morant's had right knee issues, and there was a play where, you know, he clearly kneed Klay Thompson earlier in the game. So, again, whether he tweaked it, I don't think it was Jordan Poole trying to do anything dirty to hurt him. But to the game, Warriors blew him out. I've been saying that I didn't think, you know, Memphis would obviously win this series, and this was just going to be a good test. I think their window's coming up within the next 2 years, but they just don't have enough experience and I don't think enough talent to beat Golden State. What are your thoughts on the actual series thus far?
Well, I mean, we both said the same thing. Good young team. They're going to push the Golden State a little bit, but they're not ready. They got a lot of offense on this team, a lot of young stars on this team, but they don't have any experience. And that's what they're missing right now. Golden State has all the experience you need to get through this round and to move on to the next round. So, and to be champions again, actually. But I love the direction that Memphis is going, but not right now. They're not ready.
Yeah. No, I completely agree. And that was the thing, you know, we've talked about this and I've talked about it a lot is, you know, young talent is always amazing to watch and fun to watch during the season. But it's a different monster when the big lights of the playoffs come on and rarely do you find guys that, you know, are able to translate that playing well in the season to the playoffs when you're not really the go-to guy. I mean, Morant's averaging 38 a game. Morant's a killer on the way to being a superstar, but you saw what Bane was averaging nearly 27 last round, and his numbers are way down. Brooks, you know, he hasn't really done anything in this series. Jaren Jackson has been a little up and down, and I think you point that's just experience. Best teacher is experience. So love this team. Love the direction they're going. They're just not there yet. Up next, Dallas and Phoenix. And before we actually get to the game, there was another incident. And I actually got a chance to talk to CP3 last night and he told me what happened. But there's an issue where his wife and kids and family were upstairs at the concession stand and someone clearly bumped into his wife and like nudged, like really knocked her and didn't say nothing. So she said something back to them. And then there was another incident where someone put their hands on CP3's mom on Mother's Day and pushed her. I mean, I already know what you would have did, Jack, what we both would have did. I mean, being someone who actually had to go into the stands and defend a teammate. What are your thoughts on some people want to say crazy? I feel the word is entitled because there's just been a lot of crazy shit going on with the fans toward the players and now the fans towards people's family. Talk to me about this CP3 situation.
Well, once again, I go back to the brawl. They care about the fans more than they care about the actual players. It's starting to get to the point where they care about the business more than the actual product. You know what I mean? You have no product, you have no business. So they need to get that right, bro, because just imagine if CP3, one of the faces of the league, somebody who we should all let our sons model themselves after, just imagine if he ran into the stands and start slapping the shit out of somebody for touching his mama.
Well, just within his right.
That's what I'm saying. But just imagine that for a second. Is that what y'all really want? Is that what y'all want? Right? So y'all been saying for years, and y'all been taking money for years and telling us that we have to take everything, but we can't respond back. It's got to the point, Matt, where it's been to the point for me, enough is enough when they didn't defend us when we was at work, but now they touching players' mamas and stuff like that, bro. I think it's totally out of line. And if they don't nip that in the bud now, it's going to be to the point, like you said earlier, where it's going to be guys like me with homeboys like me that are going to have them sitting in the stands waiting for something to pop off. And it ain't going to go how the NBA want it. Trust me. Mm-hmm. A lot of y'all people from the NBA have never been in these type of situations and don't know how we get down when you're touching our queens and our mothers and stuff like that. It gets to a point where it ain't going to be nothing nobody in the arena can do. Everybody going to get knocked out. And that's what it's going to come to. So they need to nip that in the bud now for the real people from the hoods that they never met start showing up at the games and acting ignorant.
They don't want that smoke. And again, it's been going on for a while. And I think the NBA is so quick to jump and fine players. You know, like I said, I made a post earlier today. We don't come to the arena talking about, oh, man, I can't wait to cuss someone out or I can't wait to flip a fan off. Like that, the motherfucking fans are the last thing on our minds. Everything that you see players doing is always reactionary to what has been said or done to them. You know, but again, we're the ones that are supposed to hold ourselves to a higher standard, and we're the ones that's supposed to always turn the other cheek. But that shit is played out because, you know, me and even back to when we played, how much racist shit we heard in Utah, you know, how much racist shit we heard in Boston, and still nothing has been done. And then taking it back to earlier this year or last year where, You know, people, fans are throwing shit and hitting players. And now the next step, now we're to the point where you touched it. This man's wife got touched and this man's mom got touched. And again, luckily CP, I mean, I haven't seen CP that mad. Luckily CP is one of those stand up guys that, you know, 9 out of 10 times, 9.5 out of 10 times are gonna do the right thing. You touched the wrong motherfucker's mom or daughter, son, wife, whatever. It's going to be a real problem. And again, the NBA, these arena owners, like they have to really step in before some real shit goes down. And then it's going to be a real black eye on the NBA. But you can't say we didn't warn you because the fans have been out of pocket for a while now. Let's get to the game. That was just the motherfucking in the stands. It's 2-2. The Suns took care of home business at home. Dallas came back and took care of the same business. Luka's had some guys step up on at home. Normally, that's how it works. They haven't stepped up on the road. Jack, this series is 2-2. How do you see this series moving forward?
Well, I mean, you know, right now it looks even. I mean, and I ain't just talking about how the season, how the series is 2-2. I'm talking about as far as play-wise, because certain guys are dominating, the certain stars are dominating at home, but nobody able to dominate and get a win on the road. And we're going to see who the real stars are in this series, because the team that's going to win this series, it has to win on the road. Will it be CP3? Will it be Doncic? Who knows? You know what I'm saying? Will it be Booker? Who knows? Will it be the big fella? I just don't know, man, because right now I just want Luka to stay into the game, stop worrying about the refs too much and just play. I know that's kind of ironic with me saying that, but as good as he is and as important he is to the team, if he just focuses and play, you know what I'm saying, we could possibly see an upset.
If I'm a betting man, I'm taking Phoenix because I think CP3, Booker, and Aiden's game will translate on the road. I can count on them more on the road than I can count on Luka's supporting cast on the road. They haven't done too much of anything on the road, and that's one thing Jason Kidd, you know, said when they were playing in Phoenix is, you know, who's gonna help Luka? He's doing too goddamn much. So I love where the series is at. Luka is just a motherfucker. He's played 19 career playoff games and his average is 33-9-9, shooting nearly 50% from the field. I mean, this dude is absolutely unbelievable. And I think, obviously, they're fighting their hearts out. I think Phoenix will still win this series, but it'll be interesting to see if they can get Luka a great second option that, you know, night in, night out is going to be that 20-point-a-game score, because Luka is damn near doing everything, and he's just going to need some help. So, great series. I love it, but I still think Phoenix will come out on top. Next up, Bucks, Celtics. Man, let's just talk about Giannis real quick. This dude is unbelievable. Putting up 42, 12, and 8 last game. Talk to us just about how he's been playing and how this team goes as he goes, even though they're minus Middleton.
I just want to know what he's eating. what's in his pregame meal, bro? Because he do not get tired at all. I'm talking about on both ends of the floor, dominating on offense, dominating on defense, making plays. Listen, bro. I mean, whatever he eating for his pregame meal, he need to pass it up, pass that through to his team, because they definitely gonna need some of his fuel to pull this series out. But you know, right? I don't think he gonna be able to dominate this series and win by himself. He gonna need somebody else to step up. But I mean, bro, he's doing the same thing he did in his MVP season.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he looks scary out here. Tatum has struggled, which is surprising because he was so impressive last round. They're definitely going to need him to step up. I'm still believing in Boston. I think Boston will get him in 7, but they're going to have to work. Tatum and Brown are going to have to step up, and it's just a tribute to to Giannis for being able to have this team in this position at this point without his ride or die. You know what I mean? Drew Holiday has done a good job of stepping up, but not, you know, Middleton is such a big part of this team. And I didn't think they would stand a chance without Middleton. And here they are up 2-1 in this series. So it's going to be up to Boston's Tatum and Brown to, you know, it's not only those guys, but those are the heads of the snake that are going to have to get this thing going. One thing that I found interesting that I've always thought was bullshit is that 2-minute report where it talks about how many, you know, fouls are missed. 5 missed calls in the last 2 minutes. Jack, I don't recall a playoff overall, not this game, but I'm just talking about a playoffs that has revolved this much around the fucking refs. Like, I mean, they're fucking the flow up left and right, checking to see if every single foul is a flagrant foul. They're calling just irate bullshit fouls, handing out tees left and right. What is your thoughts about what the kind of shit the refs have been on in the 2022 playoffs?
What I've been saying for years. It ain't just right now. I've been saying this for years, bro. You can't get second basemen who got kicked off their baseball team. You can't get guys who played flanker in high school and come out and then didn't make it to the NFL, so now they want to be an NFL referee. You can't get all these guys, these sharp white guys from other sports, and bring them in the NBA to think they can know what a basketball play looks like, right? All these basketball players that don't make the NBA, that go through the D League and all this stuff, why don't y'all open a school and ask them do they want to be referees? Because at least they can know what a basketball play looks like. At least they can have the feel of what's going on in the game. These referees have no clue. A lot of these technical fouls they call and these flagrant fouls, they are not flagrant fouls. I don't give a damn if they go back to the video. They're not flagrant fouls. And half the time, these technical fouls, when guys just showing emotion, They gave Luka a technical foul for nothing. Yeah, he probably was talking to him. Y'all should have gave him the tech 4 plays ago. Don't wait until you feel like he deserve a tech. You know what I'm saying? Do it on the actual incident. Don't wait till you mad enough or he do something that warrants him a tech. Like, I don't understand these referees, dog. They want to be seen too much. But then again, I always say this. They don't know what basketball plays are. They don't understand a basketball move, a basketball reaction, how people fall, how people react. They don't understand that because they never played the game. So that's why we see so many calls that we get pissed off with, especially with the technical fouls, when people just showing emotion. It drives me fucking nuts.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like I said, I don't ever remember talking about refs this much as a player or as a fan as we are now than I have in this playoffs. I mean, they're just fucking up the entire flow of the game. I mean, they're going to the monitor 2 or 3 times in like a 5-minute span. Like, there's no flow or rhythm to the game. They're checking to see every common foul if it's a flagrant foul. Use your eyes. You know, you could see 9 out of 10 times, you can fucking see that this is just, hey, shit happens. You know, this is basketball. But I mean, every time someone gets touched above the shoulders or touched in the face or falls on the ground, they're checking to see if it's a flagrant foul. And it's just fucking up the whole flow of the game, man. So this is a horrible look for the NBA right now, the NBA referees. This is something that needs to be addressed. These refs need to be held accountable for the bullshit they're doing, just like the players are, just like the coaches are. And hopefully this will get straightened out. But, you know, ain't nothing to get go do this season. Next up, Heat Sixers. Embiid's return has been magical. Although he hasn't put up crazy numbers, he's put up very solid numbers. I just think his presence on the floor, Jack, helps so many of his guys. I mean, Danny Green looks like a whole new player with Embiid back. James Harden showed me something last night that wants me to flip my pick. You know, James played with some energy last night, hit his step back threes, was finding other guys. Kyle Lowry has a nagging hamstring. Jack, who's going to win this series if things stay the way they are?
What shocked me was that the James Harden we seen last game. That shocked
me.
We haven't seen him since he's been in Philly. I think the ISOs and the threes he was hitting, that showed us a lot of the Houston James Harden that we used to seeing. So the combination of as dominant as Embiid has been all year, to see him go out there and do what he do with James Harden, that's scary. Mm-hmm. Miami is beat up, but I think they're still going to be a physical team, a team that's going to compete, especially at home. I got this series going 7. I think with Embiid being as good as he is, for some reason, I think Embiid going to put his will. If he's healthy enough, he's going to put his will on the series to pull it out.
Yeah, I agree. Shout out Jimmy Butler. He's been playing his ass off. Big game last night. Yeah. But I agree. I think that with the James we saw last night and Embiid, they have the two best players in the series. Although Miami may have had a better team situation, Philly has the two best players. And if last night is something that woke James Harden up, I'm going to have to switch my pick, and I'm going to go Philly in 7. Next up on the radar, presented to you by DraftKings, we're going to try to predict who will finish out and win these series. We'll give you guys the odds as they stand right now. So let's start with Phoenix and Dallas. For the Suns to win in 7, it's plus 160. For the Suns to win in 6, that's plus 170. On the flip side, for Dallas to win in 7, it is plus 450. And for them to win in 6, same, plus 450. So, Jack, if you're a betting man, who are you taking?
I'm taking Dallas in 7. For the bet.
Okay.
I take Dallas, betting wise, I take Dallas in 7. But me with the Suns, especially what happened in Dallas with CP Mama, I feel sorry for the Mavericks a little bit. So my heart and my basketball gut is telling me Suns in six.
Yeah. No, I got I'm taking Suns in seven at 160. Next up, the Heat versus the Sixers. If Miami wins in seven, it's plus 195. If they win in six, it's plus 250. For Philadelphia, to take it in six is plus 300. To take it in seven is plus 330. What you got here?
I'm cashing up. You're going to cash out. You're going to make you some money. I'm going Philly plus 330 is seven games.
Mm-hmm.
Going to get you some money, baby.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. You know, again, if this is the James Harden, and we all want it to be the James Harden, because I've been saying everyone's been killing him, and I'm just like, it can't have just disappeared that fast. It's still got to be in him. So hopefully last night sparked him and got him going. So I agree. Same thing.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work. In traffic, so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Hey guys, this is Matt Jones, Drew Franklin from the Fade This podcast. We got a great episode coming up. Picks in all the sports, football, basketball, we do them all. But here's a preview of this week's episode.
Do you think it's more embarrassing to dye your hair or to have hair plugs?
I don't think either are embarrassing if you're not trying to conceal it and act like you didn't.
Okay. So you think if you just come out and go, I got hair plugs.
Yeah. Like, check out these hair plugs. I mean, don't just walk around, hey, tapping, hey, stranger, I don't want you thinking this is natural. You know, but I mean,
do you have to do that with everyone you meet?
Some people try to act like they, you know what I mean?
Yeah. But I mean, like John Cena got it. You know, when John Cena came back to wrestling, he had a bald spot, and now he doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
You think he should be required in all interviews to say, look, by the way, I covered up my bald spot?
Yeah, I guess it's weird. I mean, you don't wear a sign or like put a sign in your yard, but.
All right. So what about toupees?
Those are the most obvious.
But let's say you're like Bill Self and you can get it to where it looks good.
His is magical. I don't even know if his is a toupee.
It is.
I think he went into the future and had a procedure we haven't even discovered yet.
And this episode was brought to you in partnership with DraftKings. To hear more, listen and subscribe to Fade This on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer? Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly.
So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Now it's time for a new segment, Stack. Can you let the people know what we got going on?
Yes, I sure can. Over the next 4 weeks, we're going to be releasing our next 75 list. Players that didn't make the NBA 75 list but deserve their just due. You dig what I'm saying? And I've been saying that because a lot of them motherfuckers on the top 75, I would have wiped my ass with them. You dig what I'm saying? A whole damn bunch of them. Yep. And I got the numbers to prove it. So, ooh. But yeah, that's what we're doing, Matt.
So here's how it's going down. The next this week we'll be talking about the 80s, naming 15 players to the 75 list. Next week we'll be doing the 90s, then the 2000s, and then the 2010s. Players drafted in 2014 or later, unfortunately, are not eligible.
To help us shine the light on these forgotten hoopers, we got the four-time champ, my big bro, Bad Boy Piston, in the 80s, my brother. Sal, what's happening, John Sally, in the building?
What up? I'm on big time now. I'm on big time. I made it.
You're official.
Hey, you go with that.
How is life? We're about halfway through the second round of the playoffs. Have you been keeping up with what's going on?
No, I have this movie called Sneakerella. That's
Mr. Disney.
That's going to premiere on Disney Plus on May 13th. So
okay. You've been busy.
Yeah, I've been promoting the movie, and I didn't get a chance to even try to see it. I saw Jogging 47. I saw Mr. Leia. I saw some real bad acting jobs on Flagrant Fouls.
Yeah.
So that's what I saw, and then I was like, I got to focus on this movie, so I didn't have a chance to.
So quick, before we move on, tell us quickly about your movie, about Sneakerella.
Well, Sneakerella is a movie. It's a remake of Cinderella. I play the king, right. And retired basketball player that has a family business that's a sneaker company. And this young designer loves one of my daughters. And it turns into Sneakerella. You got to see it. May 13th, Disney Plus. See, that's how you sell Stack. That's how you sell Stack.
Yeah, all right, that's it. I got you back.
I'm going to check it out. I'm sold.
Good.
Before we get to our list, have you seen the top 75 that they came out with?
Yeah, I saw it. I saw Alex English wasn't on it. I saw, who else was it? Was Steve Smith on it?
No.
I saw a bunch of people who I would have put on.
Right.
But, you know, I'm not in charge of the marketing machine. I mean, of the NBA. So I can't say exactly, you know, how you want to market your company. You know?
Right. I agree.
Drafted 11th overall in the 86 draft. What was the state of the league when you entered the league?
Well, it's funny. They used to say, believe it or not, it was too black and too drug infested.
Mm.
And it was the second year of David Stern cleaning up what was not really attractive or selling to the sponsors. And he and Michael Jordan, he told Michael Jordan, we're going to clean this league up. And I saw some amazing players that we're never going to hear about because they got caught in the drug war. It's amazing. Like Dave Chappelle made jest of it, but also put it in mind when if there would have been opioids, and it would have been then, it would have been an opioid problem. We would have really sought help. A lot of these guys were caught in this crack game, just like the rest of our community was. So you're not going to really get to hear about those guys. You're not going to really hear about Michael Ray Richardson, who was
killer.
Sugar was killing it. Mm-hmm. No pun intended. It's, you know what I'm saying? I just remember just playing against some of these dudes that really Stack. I'm telling you, they play in the street. Like they played on concrete and then they put them on basketball court. You just won't hear about it. But, you know, they did a great job on making the league what it is today. So the pioneers get the arrows.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's why we definitely have to have you come back and sit down outside of this list because we need to hear some stories. I know you got plenty of them, but let's get to this list. So as we spoke about, we're going to go through a handful of players from the 80s, an era that you played in, and you're going to help us give them the nod or not. So first up, we have Bernard King.
100%.
Oh, without, I don't even have to give you the stats. You already know what it was.
The reason I wanted to play, I was at Bernard's retirement party. The reason I am this kid that knew I could make it out of Brooklyn was Bernard King. It wasn't World Be Free. It's everybody wanted to be Bernard King, even his brother Albert. So it's you know what I'm saying? So BK was amazing, and that was it. Once I saw Bernard King, I wanted to be a pro.
Okay, so we don't know. So just for those at home, no, he's not.
No.
He's not. So he was a Hall of Famer, four-time All-Star, 84-85 scoring champ, four-time first-team All-NBA in 1977-78 All-Rookie team. But we already got the thumbs up, so let's go to the next guy.
Alex English.
Someone you just mentioned. Go ahead.
Alex English was the smoothest player. And you know why I think he didn't make it? He was the president of the Player Association, and he stood really strong against the powers that be. So I'm just saying Alex stood up for the players.
There's some politics in here, huh?
Yeah, he stood up for the players.
It always is.
But, man, he was smooth, bro. I'm telling you. And then they were playing up there in Denver with that West Coast offense. Everybody was moving, man. You get a timeout, you grab oxygen just to keep up with that. You know what I'm saying? And now that I'm older and I know about cannabis, I know that they must have been on that cannabis and in the Mile High. Unbelievable.
Yes, sir. Mile High. Yeah.
2 Mile High.
For those at home, Hall of Famer, 8-time All-Star, 82-83 scoring champion, and 3-time first-team All-NBA. Next up, Adrian Dantley.
Are you telling me? Wait, wasn't Adrian in the top 50?
Was he?
He didn't make the top 75.
I think AD was in the top 50. He had to be. My teacher, my OG, that literally taught me how to eat. Like, I'm 22 years old, had to learn how to eat AD and how to. He used to be like, Sal, be quiet. Don't say so much. Obviously, that didn't work. Man, I thought AD was in the top 50. Man, if they don't have Adrian Dantley in there, 6'4", would give you the shoulder and then go to the foul line and rub the ball 2 times and shot 90% from the line, had a 32-inch waist, would dunk on you if you didn't think about it, was getting 35 a game and led the NBA in scoring 2 seasons in a row.
Only one of 6 players to average 30-plus points 4 different times throughout his career, along with MJ, Iverson, Oscar, Wilt, and Jerry. Hall of Famer, 6-time All-Star, 2-time scoring champ, 2 times All-NBA, 76-77 All-Rookie team, and Rookie of the Year. So.
Okay, stop. Okay, God, so damn. We got to talk about this 75 that just happened. Now that I'm pissed. I know I was supposed to do the study, but now I'm pissed. I'm pissed now because we have to realize that the 75, no disrespect to anybody, because that's not how I get down.
Right.
75 should not have been done. If the people, the 3 you just mentioned wasn't in, then it was a marketing scheme.
Null and void.
Thank you.
It was a total marketing scheme for people to buy more jerseys of people that they can get done now, that they wanted you to check their research. You know what a kid told me one time? He walked up to me and said, you know, Kobe Bryant's the greatest player I've ever seen in my life. I said, how old are you? He said, 16. I said, you're right. Mm-hmm. I left it alone.
Right.
That's the best player he's seen in his life, probably.
In his life.
I wanted to touch on something real quick. I feel like there's players, if I'm not wrong, from like the 50s and 60s back on the list. And again, we're not here to disrespect anybody, but I feel like there's people that kind of help pave the way, and they're not necessarily the top 75 best, because you know players back then couldn't fuck with players.
Man, they would have got cooked. Dwight Howard would have bust Bill Russell ass. Fired him out in the first quarter. Dunked on him, all kind of shit, dog. Let's keep it real, dog.
Let's keep it 100% real then. Imagine having to take a cab to an arena, walk in, play with canvas sneakers and rubber with a crowd calling you nigga 18,000 different ways, and you only making $30,000 a year. You playing for pride. So the difference is, if you give them the same thing, Bill Russell would destroy anybody put in front of him, left-handed and mad. You know how mean Bill is. Man, that ain't mean. That's mean because he was they was calling him all kind of names. In Boston, as he was winning for him. First black coach in the NBA. Nah, son.
I give him that respect on what he's done and being the pioneer. But it's a, it was a whole – the game had evolved so much. Like, Bill would have got his ass washed. I'm sorry.
Man, I'm telling you. Let me tell you. I met up with Bob
Tim Lanier, Duncan.
Bob Lanier, with him size 22.
Kevin Garnett.
He just hit you with his foot. Your ass is done. Your big ass feet step on your feet. You're done.
It's over. All right, let's get back to the list. One of your former teammates, Joe Dumars.
Oh, my God.
Isaiah's running mate. Oh, shout out Joe. He just got a new job with the NBA, too. I just talked to him the other day. So shout out Joe.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not, man. Lake Charles, Louisiana, man.
Michael Jordan said the hardest he's ever worked was against Joe Dumars. That was the hardest he ever had to work. And, you know, I call him Frenchie because he's down there with all them, you know, French-speaking people. Frenchie was different, man. Like he was, I'm telling you, would go in and you wouldn't think that much. He was a smart, he was quiet, and he was efficient. Mm-hmm. He was nothing flashy about it. It was 100% efficiency. It was a trip, man. It was, if we were talking football, it was Bo Jackson, just run your ass over. He was just dope. 225 pounds, 20 pounds, 6'2", 6'3". Yeah, Premier Joe Dumars was, you know, he was on Dream Team.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Nobody don't know him and Steve Smith married sisters.
Yeah, because Steve wanted to meet his niece. And I had to go to Joe and said, because I was playing for the Heat then. I said, yo, man, this kid, Steve, really good kid, man. He wanted to meet Millie. He was like, and you know, he looked at me like, get out of my face. I said, no, he's a great kid. I said, seriously, he is. He was looking at me like, man, don't bring no ball players around my knees. And sure enough, kicking.
Crazy. Yes, I love it. Hall of Famer, 6-time All-Star, 2-time NBA champ, 3-time first team All-NBA, 86 rookie team, 5-time All-Defensive team, and the 89 Finals MVP.
What more you want, bro?
So yeah,
how can anybody
right now,
else from that new 25 match that? Just give me those stats.
Mm-hmm. Talk to him. Next up, Jack, you got it.
Damn, so not Bill Walton.
Oh. Hey, Jack likes to speak for himself sometimes. Go ahead. You can respond, Sal.
Bill Walton was a bad white boy. He wasn't.
Yes,
stop.
He was.
Bill Walton was bad.
Yes,
and he happened
was.
To be white.
Yes, he was.
He happened to be white. That
yes,
Bill
he was.
Bad.
I probably got more points in my career than him. And he said one of the worst things ever on TV about me when I was playing. So fuck Bill Walton.
Then I would do.
Jesus Christ.
I don't deal with anybody that says anything negative about me. I don't care. I'm like you, Stack. I don't get F. But Bill is bad as a player.
Jack, next player, Jack. Go ahead.
Bill Laimbeer, man. Of course, somebody who I love watching play, didn't take no shit from nobody. You think he deserved to be in there?
I love my captain, man. Captain, oh, captain, I love Bill Laimbeer. And I will never go against a bad boy as long as I live. He need to be at the top of the list. Because think about it. He changed every player in the NBA. He changed every rule in the NBA. When they were yelling and cursing and calling them names, he was going like this and bowing. And he would say, I'll take all of that. You guys win. And he took it. So he changed. I mean, they changed 20 different rules in the NBA because of Bill and Rick. So damn. I'm going with Bill Laimbeer. Hell yeah, he need to be in there. He should have been in the top 50.
4-time All-Star, 2-time NBA champ. What I love about him is he was drafted the 65th pick. And you know, they like to count those guys out. Those guys don't last long. We just drafted him because we just got to use a pick. I salute him for being get drafted like so far in the draft and still, you know, being talked about as being a Hall of Famer.
Next up, Dale Ellis, one of the best shooters of all time. First player to average 2 made threes per game, shooting 40% or better. He had a 3-year run where he's averaging 26-5 over a 3-year peak.
Yeah, Dale was bad. I mean, I love when I see these young guys. I've seen a lot of shooters, and the only person I've seen shoot close to Steph Curry is his daddy. That's it. Because his daddy had a smooth, he was so smooth. But Dale Ellis was a killer, man. He's like 6'5", 6'4", and, you know, he had that face. And that hard shot, like when his arm, it looked like it was always going to go, like he was punching the ball in. Yeah, I love Dale, man. I'm gonna put him right here, though. Let me keep hearing what else is happening. I'm gonna put him right here.
Right.
I ain't gonna say no. I'm gonna just put him right here.
Because this next name, you definitely going with. I know for a fact. Sidney Moncrief.
Oh, no question. Sidney Moncrief, ain't nothing to talk about. You talk about the Greek freak. Sidney Moncrief was in Milwaukee at 6'3", putting in numbers. And he looked like he was in an R&B group. He already had like the hair that dipped back like this.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, it looked like Batman and stuff. But Sidney Moncrief was a killer, man. I remember I got into the league and I couldn't believe he was that wiry and that small and doing that much work.
Back-to-back defensive player of the year. Only two perimeters to win defensive player of the year, two times, him and Kawhi. Five-time All-Star, five-time All-Defensive Team, five-time All-NBA. Unbelievable. And he used to get buckets.
Next up, another player from Milwaukee, the first Crip that ever went to UCLA, Marcus Johnson.
All right, let me tell you. Marcus Johnson, he was so bad. Remember they put him in White Man Can't Jump.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I'm going to go play him himself.
Hey, I'm going to go get my other gun, come back and shoot everybody.
Shoot all you motherfuckers.
The only brother that played him that was himself, no question. All right, let me hear the stats.
Averaged 20 points, 7 out of 9 years in the league, five-time All-Star, three-time first-time first-team All-NBA, and rookie selection in 78, all-rookie selection. Averages his 3-year peak was 23-7-4.
And men, imagine you had to live in Milwaukee where they had the white and they had the green and the yellow, green and light green on the side, and they played at a place called a Mecca that was older than Mecca itself, Stack. You know what I'm saying? Man, we used to work. And this is how it was in the NBA. We got there, we stayed in the Holiday Inn across the street. And when you said, hey, you got to be there by 6 o'clock, you had to come downstairs, walk in the snow, cross the street, hopefully you don't slip and break your ankle, along with everybody else, and then go in and hopefully the guy down there realizes you play for the visiting team. I swear to God, that's what how it was. The Mecca, boy, I loved it. And Chuck Daly used to threaten me because I said, man, I couldn't live here. He said, you keep playing like you're playing, Sal, this is where I'm trading.
So are you putting Marcus in or on the burner for right now?
I don't want to deal with Marcus. Marcus ain't, he's for real. He's like Stat. That's original Stat before Stat.
I told you he was the first Crip at UCLA. Marcus is legendary.
Stack, you ain't original. This check your bloodline. Check your bloodline.
I gotta do my homework on bro, man. I knew he was solid, but y'all making me laugh, bro. Y'all making me laugh today.
Yeah. He definitely was a killer, man. Whew. Yeah, I ain't even gonna deal with it. So this, my left side is where I'm holding you just so I can think about it. And the right side is where you're going in. So Marcus goes on this side and somebody watch my back. I don't want to think anything crazy. Got me looking around. He ain't even here.
Go ahead, Jack. Next player.
Next player, I think you're gonna love this guy. I know growing up, I used to love to watch him play. 29th overall pick, Hall of Famer, Finals MVP with the Sonics in 79, a defensive stopper, clutch scorer in the 1980s with the Celtics, Dennis Johnson.
Oh, DJ, man. God rest his soul. He had freckles and red hair. So the only reason
red.
The only reason they let They didn't know what he was when he got to Boston.
That's why they gave him a pass.
I used to say, you a real leprechaun. They realized that. man, DJ. DJ broke my heart, man. So Isaiah grabs the ball. God wasn't supposed to take it out, and he throws it. Bird steps in front of him and throws it to DJ. DJ scores. He was just such an anomaly and such a tough play to deal with. So in the top 75, we'll put DJ over here with Dale Ellis just for a second. Just for a second.
Five-time All-Star, three-time NBA champ, two-time first-team All-NBA, nine-time All-Defensive, and Finals MVP in 1979.
Yeah, DJ goes back from this side over here. Dale Ellis is by himself right now. DJ, don't sit too close to Marcus Allen. You know, I mean, Marcus, you know what I'm saying? He'll elbow your ass just for looking at him.
Next up, Mark Aguirre, the number one pick in the 81 draft.
Say not, say less. Draws is what we call them in Detroit.
Draws.
Draws. Draws. That's exactly what he would do. Draws. And it would look ugly, too. Draws. Anyway, I'm a bad boy for life. You don't have to read the stats. Bad boy for life. He was destroying people in Dallas. Mm. Yeah, Roy Topley. Himself, if Roy wasn't getting high, we'd be talking about Roy Topley. Roy Topley, and he had Sam out there. The first Sam, it was Sam and Bill Laimbeer were the first 7 footers really shooting the three balls. They literally had to play where they would pop out, and he shot it in rhythm, which was a trip. You know how y'all get it and you hold it and you shoot? He had to be in rhythm, but he can shoot it from three. But Mark Aguirre's hands like this he's the number one pick. I know Isaiah and then, you know, Magic and all, they were all with Dr. Draw should be in there, no question.
Next up,
Lafayette Fat Lever.
Man, Fat Lever taught me a lesson, man, a huge lesson. Fat Lever was a star on Golden State, man. He built this beautiful house. And he was telling anybody, yeah, I just finished my house. And then they had a press conference and they traded him.
Traded him.
Ooh.
And he was the man. Like, he was the one that, like, he was the face. I learned that hurt my heart because Fat Lever was, you know, these small guys were so big, you know. Isaiah Tiny Archibald was the best of anybody, period. And then Isaiah. And then, Murphy. And then Fat Lever was one of those small guys that were just putting it down. Small guys, I mean, below 6'4". Yeah, I'm going to put him over here with Dale for right now. Put him over here for Dale.
He's going to be on the back burner. Next up, Mo Cheeks. His three-year peak, 15-8 and 2.5 steals, averaged 2-plus steals per game for 10 straight seasons, number 6 all-time with steals, 15th all-time in assists.
Hall of I might fame, have more points to him All-Star. In my career.
Yeah. I say this, though. Before Matt Barnes, it was Mo Cheeks. more women were going after Mo Cheeks. Because Mo Cheeks was in Philly, he was near Doc, and every girl that couldn't get to Dr. J would just fall on the Mo Cheeks.
Mo had that good hair too.
Oh my God, he had that hair. That's Matt. Matt, let me tell you. I said, man, this is a tough, good looking, you know, kid. And when I thought he was Latino, but then I found out he was, you know, mixed. And then all of a sudden, you know, I was like, yeah, good looking kid. And this girl told me, boy, when he got that tattoo on his neck, I said, man, why would he put a tattoo on his neck? And every girl was lined up to lick his tattoo. I'm like, look at my neck. My tattoo is coming, man. I'm trying to be like Matt Barnes. But Mo Cheeks was definitely. Mo Cheeks was definitely.
I've done well in that space.
Yeah, you done. Yeah, you did good, boy. I'm proud of you. I say. But Mo was tenacious as well. And then as a coach, too, he brought that same feeling, too. But I'm going to put him over here on my left side. Put them on my left side.
Next up, right.
Artist Gilmore.
I got a bump right here. First time I got knocked out ever by a human was him. 1986. No, 1987. About to go to the All-Star break. And I hate being around my teammates. I'm a rookie that wants to kill everybody. Like, I want to put things inside the Gatorade. I hate these so bad. And the game, you know, it's the Thursday night. And my flight is at 7 in the morning to Atlanta. I got it laid out what I'm doing for 3 days. I don't care about nothing. I don't want to see a basketball. I want to see butts that are built like basketball. That's what's in my mind when I'm going back to Atlanta. And Artis Gilmore, and I pump faked him. And he went up and he came down and he elbowed me in the top of the head. And I still see stars. Vinnie Johnson said, get up, Sal. Don't make him think he hurt you. I said, he did. And I got to shoot the foul shots. And then after, they said, hey, you had a concussion. But obviously, it's Detroit. You know, put some spit on it. They were like, don't go to sleep. Up. Yeah. It was like, get your ass up. Shoot the foul shots. We ain't got time for that. I love that.
Ain't no way he should be in there with his stats. And, you know, there's no way he shouldn't have made it.
Yeah, man. Think about it. He came out with Kareem. And he was left-handed. And he had this big afro. And I'm telling you, he's one of the biggest humans, man. My father was huge. He was – Artis Gilmore and my father could probably be the same person. That's the way how big my dad was. I didn't realize my dad was only 6'7", but he was built like Artis Gilmore. And when I got to Artis Gilmore, 7'3", and, you know, his mustache would knock you out.
What side you putting him on?
Artis Gilmore going over here. He should have been in.
He on the list.
Yeah.
Should have been next, in the top 50.
Next up, one of the Twin Towers, Ralph Sampson. Career peak, 21-11 and 2 blocks. Obviously, injuries derailed his career a little bit, but Hall of Famer, four-time All-Star, first-team All-NBA once, rookie team, rookie of the year, 84-85 MVP.
So, Michael Jordan was drafted 1984. And Sid, yeah. Let me just say this. Ralph, I went to go to Virginia, and they were like, you can back up Ralph. And I said, no, I want to play small forward. And they go, no, we already got a small forward. You're 6'11". But I'm not banging with anybody. I'm 175 pounds. It's not going to happen. Like, seriously, if it's too windy, I'm not going to class. Ralph Sampson, man, blocked my shot 7 straight times. Stat. Jesus. Every time I went down, I caught the ball. My first year at Georgia Tech, and he was like, you should have come play with me, young fella. I went up, he blocked it. 7 straight times attempt. And then I caught the ball one time, and he jumped, and I jumped, and I put it back here. And he came down, and I didn't. Bow, a CBS. I felt my brothers jump up and fall back. He did it. I had 6 points stacked, but that's besides the point. That dunk. He had like 23 on me, but that dunk.
Oh shit.
Is in my mind.
That was by 10 points.
Yeah, I'm gonna put Ralph over here, but he did get Houston into the finals against the Celtics. It's just like injuries, but he was smooth too. I'm going to put him over here.
Alvin Roberts.
Alvin from like San Antonio, Alvin?
Yes.
Yeah, defensive player of the year. Only player to ever have 300 steals in a single season. All-time steals per game at 2.7. 4-time All-Star, 3-time steals champ, All-NBA, 6-time All-Defense, defensive player of the year once, and most improved.
Yes, he goes and he and Marcus could play cards.
Oh, he was one of them too?
He liked to throw hands too?
Man, and guess what? I got bamboozled into that expansion draft, and Alvin was on the squad too. And Alvin like scored the most points in the first game. But he was so gangster and so strong-willed. Like, it was the first year at Toronto Raptors, but we should have been in the finals. Like, this is an intense brother. And in Houston, he's intense. Yeah, I'm not going to tell everybody to do a whole bunch of history, but as a player, yeah, man. Was a player. Mm-hmm. He was a player. I'm telling you. He was hard as nails. You know what I'm saying? He was like, what's that kid's name? The kid that played for Boston that was crying, that finally won. He looked like he, you know, worked at the steel mill. One with Milwaukee. Anyway, I'll think of his name. One of those guys who Stack, you would have loved. The hard worker. Hard worker.
Yeah.
It's so funny because you and Matt are literally the same person. Just one is light and one is dark. I'm going to call one Jesus and one Moses. That's y'all's name. Moses and Jesus. Matt, you played a Jesus role, you know, just to go with the picture. And Moses is walking in the sun. So that means that's you, Stat.
Oh, my goodness.
And he was Muslim. original Hebrew. My God. Yeah, he's definitely a tough player.
Well, John, we appreciate your help on this next 75 list. We just ran through the 80s, but we got to make sure you come and sit down with us, man, because I know we could laugh for a whole straight 2 hours. So we appreciate your help. We'll keep you posted on the list, and we will definitely see you soon.
All right. Stay alive. I love you.
My brother. Good to see you.
Good to see you, bro. Thank you.
All right. Well.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work. In traffic, so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Hey, man, we want to bring in one of my homeboys, somebody who I'm a big fan of, a rising star. Even Roy Jones said it. Roy Jones said it. He's one of the most dangerous boxers out right now. Roy Jones, a big fan of you. Jaren Boots Ennis, man. Welcome to the show, bro.
What's up, man? Thank y'all for having me.
We ain't gonna call you Jaren. We're gonna call you Boots. We're gonna call you Boots. Getting ready for your big fight, man. We'll be at the weigh-in. Me and Matt will be at the weigh-in. All the Smoke will definitely be at the weigh-in. But you got a big fight coming up against Castillo Clayton, IBF welterweight title eliminator. How you feeling?
I'm feeling great, man. I'm excited and I can't wait. I'm ready to shine and, you know, show the world, you know, my skills and be victorious on Saturday night, you know?
Yeah, another undefeated fighter, somebody that's really in your way. That's what I've been saying. I said it's another tune-up fight for the big fight. What's your thoughts on the matchup and your expectations in this fight?
It's a good fight. I don't really know too much things about him. I just know we had a common opponent. We both first circuit lifting nuts, and that's about it. I let my team, you know, worry about the rest of that stuff. But it's a good fight, and I can't wait. You know, I'm going to shine, do my thing, do what I always do, you know, and make it a big statement, you know, make a big statement on Saturday night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I said. That's what I kind of said, bro. I said this is going to be a good fight for you, but, you know, he might try to push you a little bit, but this is a fight so the world can really see who you are, who Boots is, right? And make that good look, the good knockout for the next fight so you can get that bread. That's what I've been talking about.
Most definitely. Every time they say it's a step up in competition, you know, I make it look easy. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to make it look easy and, you know, shine.
Mm. The week of, what is a normal day like the week of your actual fight?
Oh, well, this week right now, I'm chilling right now. I'm at my weight on point. I'm just coasting, you know, waiting for weigh-ins day and then fight night. That's it. So I'm not really doing too much. I'm hitting the bag a little bit, pads, light little run, nothing too crazy because I'm already on weight, you know.
So when do you normally, for fans out there, you normally hit that chill button a week of, or is it 2 weeks out? When do you start slowing down a little bit knowing that a fight is coming?
Fight week, I just start slowing down, you know, and just sharpening up, you know. That's all, just working on a few things, you know. Everything that I've been doing in training camp, I already done, you know. I'm already healthy, I'm already strong, I'm on point, you know. The hard work I already put in, you know, it's just time to coast out until weigh-ins, you know, and stay sharp, that's all.
Mm-hmm. So you're fighting the co-main event to Jermell Charlo. Thoughts on the main event? Although you're focused on your fight, thoughts on the main event that'll precede your fight?
Big rematch.
Yeah, the main event, a great fight, you know. It's a big rematch. I can't wait to see it again. I think I'm rocking with Charlo on this one.
Yes, sir. Me too. I think that first fight was tough for him. He you know, he kind of underestimated, but he know that guy coming to fight, so he gonna put it on him this time.
I think he figured him out this time. This time around, you know, I feel like he's gonna be better on this time around. It might be easier for him.
So tell me this, Boots. You know, I've been a boxing fan for a while, and I've been watching him a lot, and I've been watching you for the last couple of years. What is it gonna take for the big fight? Everybody avoiding you. It's a lot of people avoiding you. It ain't no secret. You know what I'm saying? It's about around the boxing world. We've been through a lot of fights, and that's what's been said. What is it going to take?
What is it going to take is me continue to keep, you know, keep winning in a big statement, keep knocking these guys out. But I think after this fight, after I do my thing on Saturday and make a big statement, I feel like it's all big name fights after this. Whether it's, you know, Errol Spence, Bud, Keith Thurman, you know, it don't matter who it is. So I feel like after this fight, as long as I do my thing, you know, and stay focused and have my fun and get this knockout Saturday night, I feel like a big name is next.
Yeah, and you said the names, Errol Spence and Bud Crawford. They've been talking about fighting. It looks like they're going to fight at the end of the year possibly. What's your take on that fight?
That's a good fight. That's a 50-50 fight for me. Two good fighters. And we won't know who the best man is until they step in their ring and see who won't be victorious on fight night. So we're going to see on fight night. So I'll be there watching, you know.
At 147, you'll be confident against both of them too, huh?
Hey, I'm confident against anybody. I don't care if it's the Incredible Hulk. It don't matter who in front of me. I know what I can do. I know my skills and my ability. And the better my competition is, the better I'm going to be every time I fight. Every time I fight, and they say I'm fighting somebody better or it's a step up, I make it look easy. And then they be like, oh, he's supposed to do that. So, you know, it don't matter. It don't matter who it is.
Hey, you train with some of my brothers too, Mooshin Kaysen and Cool Boy Steph. You know what I'm saying? Some of my brothers. So, yeah, I see you in good company.
Yeah. I was helping Mooshin get ready for his last fight. I was sparring Mooshin, and then me and Scooter, we always in the gym together. You know, Scooter the world champ, you know, from Philly, you the five world champ. You know, he doing his thing. Mooshin doing his thing. You know, great fighters. Philly back on the mat right now. I feel like we about to take over the boxing game and show the world who the real boxing city is.
Ooh, okay. Yes, I like that. Born and raised in Philly, thoughts on your Sixers? Embiid returned, was able to even out the series. Harden is playing better. Thoughts on your Sixers?
They doing their thing right now. I missed the first two games. I didn't get to see the first two games, but the last two games I've been watching it and I've seen a couple highlights and stuff. They doing their thing, and I feel like when Embiid on the floor, it's a whole different story, you know. And then James Harden, you know, he coming back. He looking like Houston James Harden right now. Last night, he look good. So, you know, hopefully, you know, they win this series 4-2. They got one these next two, or at least one on the road, you know, and then finish it up at home.
Mm-hmm. Facts. Hey, bro. Well. Just know that this weekend, bro, you'll see me and Matt at the weigh-in. You'll see us at the fight. You know what I'm saying? We coming to support you, man, with Showtime, of course, man. We wish you a good fight. We appreciate you taking time from your busy schedule, getting ready for this week, bro, and coming on to rap with us, dog.
Thank you. I appreciate y'all. Thanks, y'all. Thank y'all for having me.
No doubt. Good luck, sir. Bro.
Thank you.
Jack, we're here. Closing thoughts. Sacramento Kings hire coach Mike Brown to a 4-year deal. He'll be coming off the Warriors bench. He was the second guy in line behind Coach Kerr. Thoughts on this hire?
That's my boy. Yeah, everybody know that's my guy. You know, I text him, told him I'm ready. If he need me, come on the sideline with him. You know what I'm saying? That's my guy, dog. From the San Antonio days, always had my back. Got me to San Antonio. Got me starting in a big contract in Indiana. Just been my guy all around, bro. And I'm just happy getting another opportunity to, because he's definitely one of the best basketball minds in the game. Been around for a long time, multiple championships. So I'm just happy he's getting another shot at it.
I'm going to go on the opposite side of you. I like Mike Brown. I had him as a head coach, but I think, and I've also had him as assistant. And I say this with all due respect, I think some guys are just great at being assistants or second in charge. I don't feel like I had Mike Brown with the Lakers and that shit was a disaster. The lack of disrespect that players had for him and the shit that went on, the way he handled certain situations, just tell me that, again, head coach wise, I don't know if that works. And me being kind of close to Sacramento and kind of seeing what they need, you know, Mike is a great communicator, great guy, talk, very friendly dude, but I don't think the Kings need someone that's going to be able to be cool with the guys. That's what Luke Walton was. The King needs someone who is going to get the best out of players. Someone who's going to come and set a foundation for change. My way or the highway. And I just think Mike Brown, and this is not a knock on Mike Brown, but I just think he is such a cool guy that tries to be buddy-buddy with everybody that I don't know if that's what Sacramento needs, but I do wish him the best. I don't have any ill intentions
towards him.
That's
why he need me with him, so we can go on change the shit around.
For real. For real, that's what I'm saying. That's no joke, for real, because I really think they need someone who's in there with the voice. Hopefully, he's been able to keep Rico Hines over there because he's someone with the voice. But no bullshit, Jack, they need more people like you that can come in and help change the culture, you know, because, you know, his defensive mind is brilliant. He has won, but I think as far as they need so much foundational work that I don't know if just coaching is going to be enough. They don't have a leader as a player, and that's crazy. So it's going to have to come from the head coaching spot. So, you know, I wish him the best of luck and the Kings, obviously, to turn their situation around. And, Mike, if you ever happen to see this, like, for real, take serious consideration of bringing Jack in as an assistant coach, because you're going to need someone that the players respect and someone that can help you lay a new culture and foundation out there in Sacramento. And he's wearing purple colors right now. This shit is already supposed to be in the making. Next up, something you spoke on this morning, and I wasn't mad at it. Jokic, congratulations. Amazing numbers, yeah. Amazing season. Has won back-to-back MVPs. Not taking anything away from him, because you didn't, Jack. But speak your piece, because I think what you said made a lot of sense.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I say. People don't understand. We basketball players, we see things a lot different. I would never take anything away from Jokic because he's an amazing talent. He's way better than I've ever been, and he's doing things that we've never seen in the game. But then again, he's not the MVP, right? We've seen Steve Nash do great things, but he wasn't a back-to-back MVP in my mind. So Embiid had a great year. I think they factor talking about it's a regular season award, and we had this many conversations many times with Rachel Nichols about this being a regular season award. But to me, MVP means more than that, right? You have to put your team in a solid position, not what some people may think is a position, but what we know as a solid position to win the championship, carry your team. And Embiid has been doing that all year. Not saying Jokic haven't. I just feel like Embiid is the MVP of this season, and a lot of people do. But to correct all that, they did so hard with getting votes and stuff for this top 75. Why don't we put the media aside and let the top 75 players that they think were the top best 75 players to ever play, let them vote for MVP every year. And I think we'll get a better understanding of who's MVP and what MVP actually means to basketball players and to the game of basketball.
No, I agree. You know, I think what happens was sometimes they held the fact that Jokic's teammates were hurt against everyone else. And that's not their fault. Just like Joel Embiid had to play without Ben Simmons the whole season out till Harden came. Like, that's not the other candidates' faults either. You know, to me, right. It should just be what kind of work they were putting in. And I think, you know, it could be a coin flip. Both their numbers are incredible. But I just think this year it was definitely Embiid that got the nod. But, hey, congrats to Jokic. Again, two-time MVP, which is incredible. And, man. Hold your head, Embiid. That's just got to be on the way. Switching gears, Canelo
got
beat. First loss since he lost to Mayweather back in 2013. Did you get a chance to watch the fight?
You know I did.
Talk to me about it.
This is my first time actually hearing about B-Ball and seeing him fight, right? You can tell before the fight and from the press conference and everything I watched, you can tell he's a solid cat and a confident cat. Like, you could tell he put in the work. Like, he ain't worried about too much. You know what I mean? He letting his work and his experience in boxing do the talking. And when he got in the ring, bro, you can tell that he is serious about his craft, dog. I'm talking about he boxed Canelo to death, bro. I'm talking about Canelo tried to come in there with all the power punches, Matt, that he normally just knock people out and affect people and have people running from him all fight. Nah, this guy stood in front of him. He was the bigger fighter. He used his jab the whole fight and kept Canelo away from him and just really beat him up. Canelo was swinging hard punches, just hitting his arms, and didn't really hurt him the whole fight, bro. I think Canelo stepping up to weight, it wasn't what he expected. He expected to go up and dominate, and that didn't happen. I think he needs to come back down because those guys are too big, and he don't have enough power for those guys. And he said he want to go back for the rematch. I think the same thing going to happen again.
Mm-mm. Well, a lot of people too said that Canelo's been dodging people on the list that he should be fighting, and he took this fight.
Charlo, Benavidez, he ducking all them.
Yeah, so I'm saying. So they say he's been ducking, and then he catches an L in this match this past week, and so it'll be interesting to see his next move. Yeah, I didn't get a chance to see the fight, but I just saw the.
Hey, outcome, Matt, but, like, but oh. I don't mean to cut you off, but let me say this though. Canelo did go up in weight, right? And it takes a lot to go up in weight to last all those rounds and get knocked out. So I ain't taking nothing from the champ. He's still one of the best pound-for-pound fighters in the world, right? Mm-hmm. I'm talking about he's still a knockout 90%, 98, 95% of the fighters out right now. But we just want to see him fight the Charlos, you know what I'm saying? We want to see them fight some of the young fighters that's coming up or the fighters that's calling him out. This fight was a good fight for him, but he ended up losing it. And I don't really think people want to see the second fight. I think he's just going to go back to try to get his belt. We want to see them fight, have more entertaining fights. And that's the same thing Chavez and De La Hoya said about him. They want to see them fight some of the young black fighters cause just like they did.
Talk to him. In closing, Kendrick Lamar's new video, The Heart Part 5, dropped last night where he turned into several different people in the face. Album releases on Friday. Did you get a chance to see the video?
Amazing, bro. I'm still in awe.
Right.
I'm still in awe. Like I said, bro, just hats off to Kendrick, bro. The lyrics, the video, everything, it touched. It's just what we needed, bro. Salute to him, bro. I can't wait for the album. That video was everything, bro. He always outside of the box, bro. And that's what we need. You know what I'm saying? Fuck being normal. Fuck being what people say you should be. Say what people think you should say. Be you and say how you feel, man. And Kendrick is the master of that. That's why I like Lil Wayne, because they don't really worry about those type of guys. Don't worry about what people say. They march to the beat of their own drum. They live their lives the way they want to. And they say what they want to say. And that video was hot.
No, I'm excited, man. The video, I thought I was just super high looking. I was like, yo, because I only saw the end, the part where they did Nip. And I was watching that shit. And I was just like, damn, why does that motherfucker look like Nip? And I hadn't seen the whole video yet, so I had to Google. But I thought, I was just like, man, maybe I'm too bloated. I put my phone down, went pee, and looked at that motherfucker again. And sure enough, he turned into Nip's face again. I'm like, what is this? And I go on, look more on social media, and people are going crazy. So the creativity outside the box thinking was unbelievable. If that was a sample of what this album is going to be about, we are very excited. So hasn't dropped nothing since 2017. So looking forward to his drop this Friday.
That sounds like Pac, man.
Mm. You can catch What's Burning every week on Showtime Basketball YouTube.
And on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at Show Basketball.
See y'all next week.
Peace.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
There's two kinds of people in the world. People who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or a ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.